You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Parents, today we are going to cover the unfortunate but real issue that we have with our kiddos sometimes, and that is their propensity for lying. And this is a topic that's come up in our parenting small group. And the question is, like, how do you deal with kids when they lie, or how do you teach them to be honest? So we're going to tackle that today. And hopefully this information will be helpful to you and, you know, help give you some good practical tips and strategies for how to manage that as that behavior rears its ugly head. So here's how we define lying, in case anyone's wondering. Lying is making an untrue statement with the intent to deceive and gain some kind of advantage. Now, of course, adults are way craftier in reasons why we lie, but our kiddos have reasons for lying too. A couple of examples might be they just want to meet a certain need. So you made a tray of brownies, they're sitting on the counter, and you said, "We're not eating these until after dinner," and you notice that there's a trail of crumbs and some brownie missing, and you ask your kid, "Did you eat the brownies?" And they say no. And really, in the end, they couldn't help themselves. They needed the sugar. The brownie was too tempting for them, so they did it. Another reason might be that they just avoid wanting to get in trouble. I mean, this story that I have from our own experience, it was so devastating. I remember the first time our daughter lied to me, like bold-faced lied to me, and it was to avoid getting in trouble because she would go in and like play with my perfume bottles in my bathroom, and I had told her many times, like, "You can play with the bottles, but I don't want you to spray them." So it was a day, I'll never forget this. We had purchased tickets to go to the circus, and that was a big deal for us. Circus tickets weren't cheap. And so for us at this time in our family life, this was a real treat we had. And so Kenzie had been in my bathroom, and then she'd gone down in her bedroom, and I went down there to check on her, and I could smell my perfume. It was like permeating the room. And I'm like, "Kenzie, did you spray mom's perfume?" And she just looked at me. She's like, "No, mom, no, I didn't." And it was like pure devastation to me because I was then in this terrible position too of like, okay, how do I handle this? Because I have to, there has to be a consequence, but we shouldn't probably go to the circus, but we bought these tickets and we have to go. And I just remember, maybe you felt that way as a parent. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I can't believe my daughter, my sweet little girl, is lying to me. And, you know, I can come back to that later about how we tried to manage through that, because spoiler alert, we did end up going to the circus that night. But I do have to admit, there were tears in my eyes as I just had a conversation with my daughter. And I said how much that breaks my heart that you would lie to mom about this. And so, you know, that was kind of a key moment in her little life. But as a parent, like, it's devastating. So kids lie to avoid getting in trouble. And then sometimes kids are lying just for attention. They're embellishing a story. You know, they're coming and saying, you know, "My sibling, they like hit me or they pushed me down." And you come to find out that, well, it wasn't exactly as bad as they said, or they didn't really get that much money for something or whatever. So there's lots of reasons why we lie, lots of reason why our kids lie. But the real reality for us as parents is to recognize that it's a character issue, it's a sin issue, and it's our job to train our kids to understand what lying is, why it's bad, why it grieves the heart of God, and why speaking the truth and being honest is the better way. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I do think it's important for us as parents to recognize that we see lying come into the sin nature right away with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. I mean, let's go there real quick to the text. Starting in verse 8, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, and so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And then the Lord God called out to the man, 'Where are you?' And he replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" So we see right there that this is what happens after the serpent tricks Eve into eating this fruit that was the one thing God forbid Adam and Eve from doing. And they know that they had disobeyed. And so their reaction then was to hide from God. So we see right there in Genesis 3 that lying creates separation and a breach of trust and a breach of connectivity. in this case, with God the Father here in the garden, because they had lied. And so they wanted to hide. They wanted to avoid confrontation. And this is the truth about our sin nature, starting right here in Genesis chapter 3. And that for our kids, for them to understand, like they're going to be tempted to want to lie, to protect themselves, to get what they want, to avoid getting in trouble. But that all comes from a selfish desire in us to want to deceive because we care more about ourselves than somebody else. So as parents, we need to tackle this issue from a spiritual level, recognizing that our kids have a sin nature just like we do. And so our job is to teach and to train our kids to see why God hates lying, why God is not a liar, that in his character, he is the truth. He would never lie. And why he doesn't want that for us, because it breaches relationship with him and with other people. In fact, just a couple of other statements here. Depending on the translation you read of the Bible, the word lie or lying or deceiving comes up 155 to 180 times in the Bible. It's a big deal. Leviticus 19:11 says, God says, do not steal, do not deceive or cheat one another. Proverbs 6 says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and it goes on. Lying's a big deal. God hates it. And as parents, our job is to train our kids to learn why that behavior, even though it's going to be a natural response because it's part of our sin nature, how do we train that out of them? How do we help them to replace the desire to lie with the desire to be truthful? And so let's unpack that for a few minutes today. And the first thing that as parents we need to do, we need to model truthfulness ourselves. You know, as parents, our kids are watching us all the time. So if we get caught even in the little white lies of, you know, talking to your spouse and being like, okay, yeah, so I did go to Starbucks and I bought my grande coffee today, even though we were, you know, on a spending freeze. Our kids are hearing that. They're paying attention to that. You know, a side note here too, I've seen parents do this before. Like, don't keep secrets or say, you know, shh, don't tell dad, but I, you know, bought this for you, even though he said he didn't want us to spend money on it. Like, don't tell mom or don't tell dad. That's modeling deception to our kids. So even though it might seem like a minor thing, our kids are watching us. So we need to model truthfulness as parents, first and foremost, because otherwise we're hypocrites and our kids are going to pick up on that. And as they get older, they're going to start to use that against you. Now, the second piece to me has been probably the most important element in our home in raising our kids is creating a safe environment for honesty. So there's a couple pieces to that. The first thing is when your kids have to share a moment where they told something that was not truthful, that your reaction isn't to overreact to that and to get really angry and shame them for that, right? So the first thing is that as parents to have a measured response when our kids come to confess. But more importantly than that, I feel like creating an environment in your home from the earliest age of just open conversation, of reading God's word together and applying it to everyday situations that your kids are going through and making that, like we call that family time. And this is what we did with our kids. Like we would use topics on pursuegod.org. We'd go to the kids section and we would watch some of those videos and then we would use the questions to have conversation. You know, we talk about things like lying or sharing or, you know, the fruits of the spirit. And then we would talk as a family about what that means in our kids' lives at whatever age they were. And that sweet time of concentrated time as a family, like we would do it typically on Thursday nights after dinner. And we wouldn't necessarily be able to do it every week, but we created enough consistency around that, that our kids learned that mom and dad and that time was a safe space for them to share like hard things going on at school or disappointments with friends or maybe a time of confession if they feel like, you know, I was at school today and the teacher asked me a question and I didn't tell the truth, that we could talk about it as a family. We applied biblical truth. And I'm just telling you, parents, the younger you can start that, the better it's going to be once they get into the preteen and teenage years. Because as our kids got into junior high and high school, as they were out in the world more and around peers more and less time under our scrutiny, so to speak, those times of family time really created a a time of, it created an environment of trust that as the kids got older and the issues got a little more complicated, we had demonstrated that home was safe, that mom and dad were safe, that even if you have to share something that's going to be disappointing or might even lead to a consequence, they knew that our heart was for them, to protect them, to teach them and to train them. So the sooner you can create a safe environment in your home where honesty is invited when they do make a confession or need to talk about something that is disappointing or might be a breach of your family rules, that your response is to lead them through that, but not to do it in a way that makes them feel like, oh boy, I'm not going to make that mistake again, and actually be honest about what I did or didn't do. So parents, I really encourage you to work hard at creating that environment and to do a family time sometime in your week, whenever that works out for you, and to start early so your kids can learn that the biblical truth that needs to apply to their life is real, it's helpful, that you guys are for them, that you pray for them, and that you're really establishing that it's safe to be honest and truthful in the home. Now, the next stage then, really, not the next stage, the next piece of this, of really training your kids towards honesty, is to explain why lying is hurtful. I mean, first of all, I already mentioned a few minutes ago that it really goes against the character of God. God does not tell lies. God only speaks the truth. So if we're followers of the Lord, then we need to reflect his character. And with his Holy Spirit in us, we can do that more because of God's strength working in us. But God hates lying. The other piece of it is how hurtful it is in relationships. So if, you know, to say to your kids, like, okay, kids, what if mom and dad said, we'll be there to pick you up after school at 3:05? And let's say you don't show up till 3:35. Ask your kids, like, how does that feel to you when mom and dad don't do what we say we're going to do? You feel unsafe. You start to wonder, okay, the next time, are you going to show up 40 minutes late? Like, can I trust that what you say is what you're going to do? And teach your kids that telling lies is hurtful to the other people that are a part of that or are told the lie. And it makes them look at you and say, I don't know if you're trustworthy. I don't know if you're going to keep your word. And how that starts to create division, kind of like what we saw with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that they wanted to hide from God, that we become unsure of relationships, and it's crushing. Just like I was saying about my daughter with the perfume bottle, like, it was so crushing to me that she would look me in the eye and tell me a lie when I could smell it and knew for sure that she had been in the perfume. And she, of course, knew she had been in the perfume. So that was a real teaching moment for her to see the sadness in my eyes that she would tell something that wasn't true. So it's important for your kids to understand that even though their sin nature is going to be like, what do I need to protect myself in this instance? To recognize that what God wants us to do is to look at it from someone else's point of view and be like, do I want people to lie to me? Do I want people to not tell me truthful things? Then I shouldn't treat people that way. I shouldn't then tell lies or untruthful things to mislead people, because it hurts, because it breaches trust, because it breaks the relationship or your ability to trust that someone's going to do what they say they're going to do, or that they have your best in mind. Okay, now, when those moments come for your kids to confess something, like I said earlier in creating the safe environment, be gracious but clear. I'm not saying that when kids come and confess that the safe environment means you just let them get away with it. No, no. You know, don't overreact. Be ready to be forgiving and to say the words like, you know, that hurts mom's heart, but I forgive you for that. That was a bad choice in that moment. Let's talk about why you wanted to lie, why that felt like the choice you wanted to make, what would have been a better choice. So you're measured in your response. You use it as a teaching moment, but you do deliver a consequence. You do say, hey, buddy, you know what? Because you did that, you're going to lose this privilege, or you don't get to go hang out with so-and-so. Like, there needs to be a consequence when we do catch our kids in a lie or when they come to us to confess, but we're gracious in our response in terms that we use it as a teaching moment, that we don't overreact, send them to the room and say you're a terrible person. Because in all honesty, like I said, if we're really attacking this from the spiritual level, we all have that sin nature in us. We all have that desire to self-protect in those moments. And so our kids just need to learn how, even though that's your initial instinct, is to do whatever you need to do to stay out of trouble, what you need to recognize is it's more important, even if you do get in trouble, to be truthful and honest, because there's way more benefit to telling the truth than telling a lie. Because at the end of the day, lies always have a way of being found out. And God always works for the good of those who love him, and he'll find a way to bring that to the surface. And so it's always better to just tell the truth. So it's important for your kids to understand that when they lie, when they don't prove to be trustworthy, that that means they have less freedoms. And honestly, that becomes more and more of an issue as they get older. And for our kids, it became that place of like, hey, listen, you know, this is your curfew. And if you're even a minute late, that's a breach of trust. And so the next time then we're going to make your curfew earlier until you earn our trust that when we say to be home at a certain time, you're home at a certain time. So be gracious, but clear. And you have to give a consequence that fits the crime, so to speak. That's a teaching moment for your kids to understand why telling lies is never going to be the better option. And then the last thing is really just celebrate honesty when you see it. Think of ways that when you see your kid tell the truth, even though they knew it was going to bring disappointment or was going to bring a punishment, to celebrate that they were honest about it. So you might be more gracious in your response or whatever the consequence might need to be. Or just think of things like, you know, when you go to your kid and you're like, okay, who threw the ball in the family room and knocked over and broke my vase? That, you know, if your kids are looking at you and the person who was really guilty raises their hand and says, I'm sorry, mom, it was me. Like to celebrate, even though there still needs to be a consequence for throwing the ball in the house, that you can still celebrate like, thank you, buddy, for being truthful. Thank you for being honest. That means so much to mom that I can trust your word. It's also important to just encourage our kids that it honors God that when we tell the truth. John 14, 16 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Like that is who God is. He is the truth. So when we speak the truth, it's like we're representing him. We're bringing honor to the Lord by being true to his character in the way that we behave. And then in Colossians 3:9, Paul says, don't lie to each other since you've taken off your old self with its practices. You know, again, parents, as we're training up our kids, as we're teaching them and mentoring them along to know what it means to trust Jesus with their whole heart and to live their lives to honor him, it's to recognize that that sin nature that's in all of us is there. It's not going away. But when we put our trust in Jesus and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, then we have the ability just to say no to the old way and yes to the way that the Lord wants for us, which is to be truthful and to be honest and as a reflection of his character. So celebrate honesty when you see it and encourage in your kids that that's who Jesus is to us and that's who we need to be to others. And we have the ability to fight that temptation with the Holy Spirit in us. So just to do a quick recap here, parents, again, this can be a daunting task. I know it can be so disappointing when our little kids, these little innocent things, we're like, how could you be a little liar? But the truth is, like I said, spiritually speaking, we're all broken. We're born that way. So we're going to see this sin nature come out in our kids in the form of lying at different times. But our job as parents is to train them and to teach them the better way to live to honor God, to be truthful. So we model it ourselves. We create a safe environment where honesty is a opportunity that you have great conversation. You let your kids know that you are safe for them to come and confess or to talk about their struggles. You explain why lying is hurtful and how it breaks trust and it hurts feelings. And you're gracious and clear, like you're ready to forgive your kiddos when the lying is found out or when they come and confess. You give appropriate consequence to teach and to train why lying's never the better way. And then you celebrate honesty when you see it, when you see your kids grow, when you see your kids make the better choice, when they choose honesty over lying. Celebrate that. Praise your kids for that. Because at the end of the day, shepherding our kids' hearts, training them up to want to walk with the Lord as they get older, that's our job as parents. God has invited us to be a part of that. There is no greater job than to help nurture the soul of our kiddos. And it's our job as parents to make sure that we're on top of it. So when we see lying rear its ugly head, use these tips to help your kiddos say no to lying and yes to telling the truth.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.